Because after doing research, I found that I have to learn at least another 40 pages in a certain sefer, and I want to give you the full picture. So I'm hoping, Mitzvah Hashem, that next week, Bezrat Hashem, Wednesday night, Mashiach will give a shir on Mashiach. But if Mashiach doesn't come, then Mitzvah Hashem will give a shir on Mashiach next week. I'm hoping I'll be able to finish, you know, preparation. It has to be done very correctly. There are many, many machlok arguments in the Gemaras and in other places of exactly what's going to happen. So I'd like to bring that all to the table together. It probably will take 2 weeks to learn it, but the Mitzvah Hashem, I hope to start next week. Just to, from last week, I know I spoke about, people are getting sick of me talking about cell phones and the internet, but too bad. Because it's just so important, and every week it just gets worse and worse, so I got to speak about it. But anyway, I told you last week that I read you that Mishnah, that the Tana was walking, and he met a man, and the man said, "Where are you from?" And he said, first the man said, "Shalom Aleichem," right? So, and we learned that there's another translation, that it could be that it's talking about the Satan, see cell phones, that we're talking about the Satan, and anyway, so I really want to continue a little bit in that, but I'm going to talk about this week's parasha, because this week's parasha really, sort of, let me turn it off my cell phone, make sure it's not on. Baruch Hashem. Okay. I can't text message you, right? You don't have a phone. Okay. Anyway, so, tell you an interesting little discussion that I had with a young gentleman who was going out with a girl this past week. So, he's going on Shiduchim, and so he wanted to know, he said, "Rebbe, what date, after what date," maybe some of you have had the same question, "after what date are you allowed to text the girl?" That was the question he asked me. In other words, the shatkin, right, there's a rule, I think after the fifth date, you're allowed to, the shatkin gets dropped, and you can talk to each other. But the question is, after what date can you text the girl? And he might have messed up because he's going out, whatever, he texted her, and she wasn't happy that he sent her a text. Right at that point, whatever happened. Anyway, so we had this whole discussion, me and him in the car, and welcome, Bachala, nice to see you. And so we had this whole discussion, and as I'm having this discussion, I'm like, wow, it's like so sad that you're going out with a girl and you're going to text her, you can't pick up the phone, you know, wait, call her, like, that's like, so I decided, you know, sometimes things like ring in my head, and I have to figure out, what's up with the Yetzer Hara, with this texting business? Why did he come up with this? So we know the internet, why he came up with it, right? And it's interesting, the Mishnah says that when the Yetzer Hara, last week's Mishnah, right? So the first thing he did when he met the Tana is he said, "Shalom." And the first thing that happens when you turn on your computer, what does it say? "Welcome, you have mail," right? So, interesting how the internet opens up to every person is, "Shalom Aleichem! Welcome to my world." But I think I sort of figured out, you know, what the Sultan has with the internet, and we're going to see this week's parsha has a lot to do with it. It's a very interesting parsha. But I was trying to figure out what's up with this, with the texting. Why did the Sultan create texting? I understand the cell phone. I remember Shashiva got up when the cell phone came out. When the cell phone, how old is the cell phone? 10 years? Not more than 10 years old. I think the cell phone's about 10 years old. So when the cell phone came out, so Shashiva got up in Yeshiva, and he said, why did the Satan bring the cell phone to the world? He said, because until now, the Yetzer Hara was outside the Beis Medrash. In other words, if you wanted to do something wrong, you have to leave the Beis Medrash. In the Beis Medrash, all there was Svarim and guys learning. What are you going to do in the Beis Medrash? So the Satan didn't have a way to get into the Beis Medrash. So what did he do? He came up with a cell phone. So now you have guys in the Beis Medrash. The phone is on vibrates, right? And every time they get a call, it vibrates, and they leave the Beis Medrash. So, and not only that, there are kids that have internet on their phones. I cannot imagine why mothers and fathers allow their children to have cell phones when they're teenagers, when they're young kids, 13, 14, 15, 16, right? And on those cell phones, they leave the internet. You got to be out of your mind to give a kid a phone with internet when the kid's of that age. But people do that. I don't understand it. But there are guys in Beis Medrash and people in shul who have internet. And you can sit in the Beis Medrash with your shtender, and you can watch the Yankees, and you can watch the news in Chas V'Shalom. You can, be doing other things, you know, looking at other things. In the Beit Medrash, the Rosh Hashiva got up, and he said, the Satan figured out at the end of the world, before Mashiach comes, he figured out how he can get into the Beit Medrash. You don't have to leave. You don't have to leave. There are guys, I mean, Chas V'Shalom, I don't know any of them, and it's probably just in theory, but there are guys that sit in yeshiva in class, in 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, and they're texting girls in the middle of a Gemara Shia. So the Yitzhar is not like, you have to leave the class, and you got to go in my day, if you want to talk to someone, you have to go and find a public telephone that nobody knew where it was, you understand? And then you were nervous the whole time that someone's looking, right? And today, the whole world just collapsed. But my question was, okay, so Yitzhar, you got in. You got in. Right? But what's with the texting? Why'd you bring that to the world? And Baruch Hashem, I think I figured it out. And the answer is like this. In my preparation for next week's shiur, there's no shaila that at the end of the world, in the beginning of the world actually, Olam Haba, the beginning of the world, that there's going to be that the Yetzer Hara knows that he's going to die. Because one of the first things when Mashiach comes is Mekadosh Baruch Hu comes, V'sheichet L'malach HaMoves, we say in Chagadya. And he shechts the Malach HaMoves. He kills and destroys the Malach HaMoves. And the Malach HaMoves, like I spoke last week, he's a Satan. He knows he's going out. And he wants to take as many Jews as he can with him. But there's something else he wants to do. And it's a very brilliant scheme that he came up with text messaging. And the scheme is not a joke. The scheme is like this. In Bereishis, in the beginning of the world, in the beginning of time, so the Torah tells us, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam Ofer min Adama. Hashem created a human being from the offer of the land, the dust. Vayifach ba'ap of Nishmas Chayim. And he blew into his nostrils the soul of life. Vayihi Adam l'nefesh chaya, and Adam became a live, chaya is really an animal, a live being. So the question is, why is that the way Hashem brought us into life? He could have just turned on a switch, created you. Why did Hashem have to breathe into the human being, right, this ruach into the human being through breathing through his nostrils in such a weird way? He could have just made the man and then get up, you know, just like he created everything else. Get up, let's go. So Rashi says the following. Rashi says, listen carefully, the nefesh chaya, that we became a live being. So Rashi asks, afa behema v'chaya nikra nefesh chaya, an animal, a wild animal, and a domestic animal, they're also a nefesh chaya. So what's the difference between the human being and the animal? So he says, afu shel adam chaya shebukula, the human being is alive more than all of other beings, shenetoseif boy deya v'dibor. That we have brains, right? And we have the power of speech. Now, the four creations of the world is a doimim, something that has no life, a rock, a tzomeach, something that grows, a flower, a plant, a chai, which is an animal, a bird, a fish, and a medaber, a person, a speaker, a person who speaks. So we see from this that the difference between the animal and the human, why do we call them a daber? Someone about seichel, right? An adam, why do we call them a daber? They're called, the animal is called a chai, alive. We're above alive. We're a medaber. Why did they pick on that? We do a lot of other things in talk. And the answer is that the human being, what he got from Hashem, is koach hadibur, the koach to speak. So the Yetzer Hara came up with a brilliant idea. He said, let's take dibur out of the world. No more speaking. Text messaging. No, it's not a joke. Nobody talks anymore. You girls know what I'm talking about. Nobody talks anymore. Everything, send me an email. In business, I'm a businessman. In business, the buyers today, of all the companies that I work with, They tell me, don't call me. Send me an email. I don't answer my phone and I don't listen to my messages. If you want to reach me, send me an email. Everything today is done by email. And if it's not done by email because you don't have a computer, it's a text message. And we have lost our deep work. We have lost the one thing that makes us humans is that we speak. We don't speak anymore. We don't speak to each other. We don't speak to anyone. If you go to a restaurant, you see people, families sitting at a table. They're not even looking at each other. They're looking on their with their BlackBerry or BlueBerry or their phone, and everybody's texting somebody else. And there's no discussion. There's no talking. You go anywhere that you go, you'll see people. So I said to myself, I got this brilliant thought, and I said, "That's what Yaakov Avinu, that's what Yitzhak Avinu told Yaakov and Esav. Call Yaakov. Talking." A voice. That's the voice of Yaakov. That's the power of a Jew. Yadayim. Yadayim. Your hands all day long looking around like this. One hand texters, two hand texters, whatever you are. Yadayim, yaday Esav. Texting. That's something from Esav that's not Jewish. Now you're going to say, whoa, what a comment. Rabbi, we're going to send you an email tomorrow. I'm not going to call me. I'm going to send you an email tomorrow. How dare you get up? That's, you're radical. Totally radical. You're calling me Esav? Because I'm texting? Come on. Where does Rashi say you die in your day Esav means texting? Come on. It says Cherev. So I'll tell you the Yetzer Hara's master plan. Why is Dibur so important? I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk to anybody. Why does Dibur make me human? Because a human being has to be connected to Hashem. So if Hashem wants you to talk to Him, say Tehillim and Daven Shmona Esrei, and say Kriyashma, and talk to God, and that's your connection, and you live in a generation of emails and texts, how can you talk to God? You don't know how to talk. You don't know how to share emotions. Yeah, everyone's happy texting because it has, those words have no emotion. When you write a word, it can mean a million different things. When you say a word, person sees and hears what you're saying, they know exactly what you're saying. No can be no, no can be no. No can be depending how you say it. But in the word in texting, it says N-O. What are they saying? So, Shachanim today, one of the biggest problems that they have with girls and boys is that what they call quiet time. They go on a date, they don't know how to communicate. Rabbi Max is a coach. He gives classes. The whole coaching is built on communication skills. Why does this generation need coaching and classes on how to communicate? That's a very human thing. That's what Hashem did here. He gave us Dibur. Why do you need to be coached on how to communicate? And the answer is because you live in a world, the communication is through your fingers. Instead of through your mouth. Nebuch, people who are deaf, so you have to communicate with your fingers to them. But people who hear, why are you communicating through your fingers? And the answer is, because if that's how you communicate, he's cutting us off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know how to talk to God, because I don't know how to talk to my mother, I don't know how to talk to my friend. I can text her 180,000 letters in 10 minutes. But I don't know how to talk to her. So Shachanim are having a problem. He don't know how to talk to her. She don't know how to talk to himself. One of them, I was speaking, I said, do this on the second date. Tell them they should sit in the car and text each other. You'll have an 8-hour date. Because she can text for 8 hours straight, no sweat. The only problem is it's going to be a one-sided discussion because guys are not nearly as fast. She's going to ask him a question, and while he's trying to fetch out the answer, she's going to ask him another question. But that's what he wants. He wants us to stop communicating with our parents, with other humans. It's terrible. It's terrible. You sit all day and you communicate on the internet, or you communicate. I'm not saying bad communication, any communication. And you don't need your mouth anymore. Why don't you create a mouth? Just sit there and talk to everyone with your fingers. You die in your day, Esav. That's not how you're supposed to communicate. You're supposed to communicate by talking to people. I think Shemayim changed. I just told someone. You know, it says in the Chafetz Chaim that when you're born, they give you a certain amount of words that you're allowed to say. And a person who talks too much, he dies early. But any Torah or tefillah that you say, that's not considered talking. Now they don't do that anymore. They change in Shemayim. They give you a certain amount of text messages. When you're up, you're done. You're finished. Because we text much more than we talk. And I know you're thinking he just keeps repeating it and he keeps repeating it. And every single week I see more and more the destruction of personalities, the destruction of girls, of children, of people. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. If I don't speak about it, then I'm a pesheya. That's an aver if I don't speak about it. Get back into the world. This is what Hashem blew. If Hashem wanted us to text, then instead of blowing into our nostrils, he would have given us a cell phone. On the sixth day, Hashem created the human being, and he gave him a Verizon with a huge plan. Ah! That's not what it says here in Chumash. So we need to get back into the world. We need to start talking to people. We need to start connecting to people. So I told this guy, I said, Yitaka shouldn't have texted her, because it's very cold. And what are you saying when you text her? What does it mean? These words have no meaning. Okay. Now that I get that off my chest. Oh, so Yudayim Deyesov, some guys like that. Yudayim Deyesov, Kol Yaakov. It's not what the pasuk is saying, but it just, I don't know, it just flew into my head. Okay. I want to get to this week's parasha, which is Parshas Balak. Now, anyone knows anything about Parshas Balak? Interesting. Because Balak was a Rasha Marusha. And he was the Melech of Moab. And he hired this, the worst non-Jew that ever lived. Bilam. Bilam was a sorcerer. He had the power of the mouth. And he was able to curse. He knew the moment in the morning that Hashem, that there's no racham, it's a moment of din. And he was able to curse and destroy anybody because he knew that moment. He was a servant of the worst Avodah Zarah. I'm not going to get into the whole Medrash and Avodah Zarah. He was married to his donkey. His donkey was his wife. And yeah, he was a Baal Avera, because the lower Avera that a person did, the closer they try to understand the koyach of his tumah. Because I'm going to read something. He was the lowest of the low. And when he hit his donkey in the sweet pasture, the donkey turned around to him and said, "That's how you treat your wife. What are you hitting me for? I've been there all my life for you. Look at Rashi. My whole life I've been there for you. I've been your wife. Now you hit me." So that's who he was. A lowlife that you can't even imagine. That's who Bilam was. And he was hired by Balak to go and curse the Jews and destroy them. Of course we know he tried, but the words that came out of his mouth were brachas that Hashem put in his mouth. He didn't have the koyach. But the question that everybody asks is, how could you name a parasha in the Torah Balak? Balak was a Rasha. How dare he get a right to have his name, the name of the Parsha, this week's Parsha? Yisrael was a tzaddik. Moshe Rabbeinu's fault. Where does Balak get such a right? It's a very beautiful answer that we need to learn, a very important lesson. Because you're right, he was a Rasha. And you're right, he hired Bilam to destroy us. But what happened from what he hired? In the end, Bilam three times got up and benched us. And therefore, Hashem is showing us that even though he was the biggest Rasha, and even though he had the worst intentions, but because from him, unintentionally, came a bracha, he gets a parsha in the Torah. Could you imagine if a person does something for the right reasons, what his reward is? This Rasha hired Bilam to destroy us, and through Hashem only we got a bracha. But since he hired, he paid for it, so he paid for the bracha. Gets a parsha named after him. That's how strict Hashem is on Hakar Satoy. Alachas Kama V'Kama, when your parents do something for you, Hakar Satoy, we have to have Hakar Satoy to Balak, who wanted to kill us. Alachas Kama, surely, Hakar Satoy we have to have for our parents. They didn't hire someone to curse us. It's a very important lesson, and everything in the Torah teaches us. But the reason I want you to understand who Bilam is, because I want to read you from the Ma'am Lawyer, is, I always get crazy when I read this. Crazier. I'm always crazy. Listen to what the Ma'am Lawyer says. He says like this. Amar Bilam lezikne Moab lezikne Midian. Bilam said to the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian, he said, listen, you want to go to war against the Jews? Listen carefully. Now you have to know where this is coming from. Not Moshe Rabbeinu. And no big sadness. This is coming from the lowest guy married to a donkey. The lowest guy on the earth. Listen to what he's telling the wise men of Midian and Moab. He said, "Du'u, you should know. She'afilu into us with kolat zavoy shiboylam. Guys, if you were to gather all the armies in the world, leistuchu lehiskaber al Yisrael, you could not beat the Jews. Why? He says, look, einatem yicholim liyos chazakim miparo. You're not stronger than Paro. He took a huge army. What happened to them? They all ended up getting drowned in the Yam. He says, listen to me. The Akshav, and now. If you want to destroy them and make them into a small nation, listen to me, I'm going to give you advice. This is the advice that Bilaam, so you have to understand, Bilaam is telling them, you can't beat the Jews. You cannot beat the Jews. Except. As long as the Jews are doing the will of God, He will fight for them. Listen, he knew the Torah. When the Jews are doing what they're supposed to, God will go to war and you can relax. But if they don't do the will of God, God will not fight for them. Okay, so God won't fight. We'll fight ourselves. No, says Bilaam. Without God, the Jewish nation, Israeli army, no army, it's not going to help them. Because without God, they can't even lift their heads against their enemies. And therefore, he came up with a major idea, and he says, listen to me. He says, the one aver that God hates the most is immorality. Ki yudua aleihem shel elu shayne zima. God, their God hates zima, hates immorality. And ken aleichem lasis david kadei lachshilam biznus. You got to do something in order to make them trip up that they should do an immoral act, biznus. And he says, I want you to know something, that these people were in Mitzrayim for a long time, and when they were in Mitzrayim, there was a lot of linen, pishtam, a lot of linen. 40 years they're in the Midbar. And they haven't seen a piece of linen. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to set up tents and make believe you're selling linen. And this was the plan. And listen carefully. Now you have to understand that the Torah and the Medrash and everything that we learn was a long time ago, but it's very much in our day. And when you're going to hear this story, you're going to hear Mamish, you're going to hear what's going on today. And he says as following. This was Bilaam's major plan on how to get the Jews to fall into immorality, and he knew that if we do immoral things, boys and girls, all this stuff is going to happen in the Jewish community, that God will not protect them, and they won't even be human enough to fight on their own. They're going to be totally lost. But, as I always say, you don't get a Jewish girl to do a major aveira. Satan is too smart. He's not going to come over to a Jewish girl and say, let's do a big sin. She's going to go, are you crazy? Get out of here. Leave me alone, you nuts. So the Yetzer Hara has to have a plan on how to make a Jewish girl or a Jewish boy fall. They don't just fall. And of course, the biggest plan today, which I talk about all the time, and the guys are laughing when I said it because they know they do this all the time, is to tell a girl that you're making me more from. And when you tell a girl that because of you I go to shul, and because of you I keep Shabbos, and I'm changing because of you, I was a shaggitz, but now I'm a great guy. Oh, reel them in, baby, like a fish. Oh, they just come reeling in like a little fish. Oh, my goodness, I made him from. Oh, I have to talk to him, and I have to call him. And, of course, that's what leads to further things. Or we'll see exactly, you're in the office, and this non-Jewish guy wants to talk to you, and you're like, and he's like, well, you know, we're all Americans, and you know, why you're a racist, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm making a chilul Hashem by not talking to him. Ha, let's go to lunch, and I'll talk to you by lunch. You know, you're gonna see exactly. You have to see this medrash. It's amazing because this is mamash the breakdown of our generation, of all the generations. So Bilaam, who is from the lowest mamash, an eved of the satan, practically directly. Okay, listen to his master plan. And he says the following. He says, I want you to put up tents. Vehemid bechol ohel. And put in deep, deep, in the back of the tent. Zayna achas. A woman of ill repute. Mikusheset yofeh. Dressed up very beautifully. But that's not going to work with a Jewish man. Because he's going to walk in, he's going to go, Pritzis, I'm out of here.
Chas v'shalom. So listen carefully to what the plan. Brilliant. Bilam was brilliant. He said like this. V'zikna achas. Let's take an old lady. Omedes liyad ha-pesach. Let's put her by the door of the tent. Uviyada chatichos pishtan. Let's put in her hand pieces of linen. U'kishebnei Yisrael yatsu min ha'olam. When the Jews come out of their tents, after she'achlu v'shasu, they ate, they drank, and now they're going on a spatzir, in a little tour, and there's a shuk. A bunch of tents, but old ladies, dressed very tzniistic, selling linen. What could be wrong? Right? Fun. So, she'alu leisen ha'zikana she'pesach, you may write some lichlis pishtin yofa. So these old ladies that were standing outside the tent, dressed very sneezy, asked the Jewish men, do you want to buy some linen? And the Jews who have not seen linen for 40 years, let's check it out. First mistake. Let's see what they're selling. Let's see what's for sale. Well, let's see what kind of movies, you know, they're showing. Yeah, let's see what kind of book I want to read. No, I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to watch it, but, what kind of DVDs do you have in your house? I don't want to watch it. Just want to know what you have. Okay. We'll go on. Oh, it gets a lot more serious. Okay. So, right away, the Jewish guy was Shalul the Mechir. So he asked the lady at the door, the old lady, how much do you want for the linen? Oz Omar HaTzeira, all of a sudden comes walking the young one to the front door. And she says, "Lama like tichtu b'fnim. Come inside. We got all kinds of different colors. That's just a sample. Come inside." But he doesn't want to go. I'm going, "Chas v'shalom. I'm going to go inside a tent with a young girl from Moab who's not dressed correctly? No way. I'm going to talk to a guy in my class in college? No way. I'm a Jewish girl." Listen carefully. It's unbelievable that it hasn't changed. It's amazing. The Torah is amazing. So what does she say to him? So he's like backing off, like, I'm out of here, right? So she says to him, "Klum, ein anu, ein anachnu b'nei av echad? Aren't we all from the same father? Aren't we all human? Aren't we all Americans? You have a problem with me? Because I'm not Jewish? We're all from one father. Terach Avi Avram." They came from Lot, Moav. Lot came from Terach. His father was Haran, who came from Terach. Avram was from Nachah, who came from Terach. So we're cousins. So as the man is walking out, she says to him, "You got a problem with me? You're a racist? You're a bigot? You're a Jew before you're an American? You got a problem with talking to me?" Right away, you feel very guilty. Chil Hashem, I have to talk to this guy. Right? So what happens? V'lama hasina hazoi shebineinu. Why do you Jews hate us? Shari anu wayami maischem. We love you. We love the Jews. Omokirin eschem. We think you're special. Guys in college, they tell the Jewish girls, "Oh, I wish I could marry a Jewish girl. You girls are so different than the other ones." And all the non-Jewish women, "Oh, I want to marry a Jewish man. They're so sweet. They don't beat us. They don't hit us." Yeah. Guys in college, they tell me all the time that the non-Jewish girls hit on them all the time. And they tell them, the Jewish guy, to get a Jewish guy is like amazing. Because they're nice guys. And meanwhile, all the Jewish girls, they're running to the guy and whatever. It's for whatever reason. Because it's always nicer on the other side. But listen to what she's saying to him. She's saying, "Why are you scared? Not only we love you, but you are the chosen nation. Mukirin, you're special. Wow, you're amazing." And all of a sudden your guard starts to go down a little bit. You got sucked into it because you were told that you're a racist and you don't like us. And you're not an American, and you're judging me because I'm a different color or a different race. So all your guards have to go down because they go, "Oh, I'm a nice girl. I can't be like that." It's a trap. He opens up the trap here. He shows you much what happened. She says, "We think you're special. But And you know what? You know what? She tells the guy, you're so special that I feel bad. I don't want to charge you for it. I don't want to charge you for the linen. It's on the house. Drinks are on the house. I don't want to charge you. You're special. It's free. Now he's already in this tent much too long. Much too long. Free linen. Oh, it's free. Nothing's free. You pay for everything. Nothing's free. We don't want money. Okay. Nope. Now he's inside. So she takes out for him food and drink. She's going to give him to eat and drink. He's at the table. So they're going to lunch together. Not such a bad thing, Rabbi Wallerstein. You're a crazy guy. You're a crazy rabbi. I'm not allowed to go out with my co-workers. Are you? What's wrong with you? You're out of your mind. Why can't I go sit with my co-workers, even though they're not Jewish? I can't be different. So, he's right. He feels bad. He doesn't want to insult her. She's a nice, young, pretty girl. Listen carefully. So she turns to him, and she says, "Im amai Yisrael ani roi tzelechem and amachlo shali." The Jewish guy, he's a tzaddik, and he's saying, "I can't eat your food. I don't eat shrimp and lobster and all the stuff you got over here. I don't eat this stuff." She says, "Of course you don't eat this stuff. I know that. That's for me. For you, yesh lanu gidim utzlayim. We have goats and lamb." Listen to this. She says, "And I'm going to give you a goat. Take your knife with your shaykhet knife and shecht it yourself. I don't shove them. We're going to go to a kosher restaurant. I would never take you to Burger King. We're going to go to a kosher restaurant. Here, have your lamb chops. No problem." This is not Rabbi Wallerstein. I'm reading him on lawyers. If you want to look it up, it's in Perek Beis, Bamidbar, Parshas Balak. Onward. It's not over yet. Oh, watch. Look how he works. Okay. Very nice. So now, he shucks the animal. She'ein ani roisah she'ta'avor al mitzvah barecha. How many girls have heard that in college? Because God forbid, I don't want you to sin against your God. Just let's hang out and talk. I would never ask you to do something that's not allowed. So she says, "Of course I was going to make you let you shecht and have your own lamb chops. What's the question?" And she's a tzaddik, this girl. This zayna is a tzaddik. She'ein ani roisah she'ta'avor al mitzvah barecha. I don't want you to be over on your mitzvos. Sit in my house, have your lamb chops, shecht your food, you know, drink your mayim chaim soda, whatever you got to do, bring your chol Yisrael in here. She says, because we're not far from each other, we're cousins. We're not far from each other. She had a bottle of wine prepared. And she gives him to drink. And at that point, we were allowed to drink wine. The reason you're not allowed to drink wine from a guy today is because of what happened here in this parsha. So at that point, he was allowed to drink wine. So he has ready lamb chops. He's got free linen, right? And he's allowed to drink wine. But once he drinks the wine, nichnas by oras ha-yetzahara, the venom of the yetzahara begins to go through his blood. Limshach oisei liyos ima, and he wants to be with her. V'hi hoisei meretz, ma bichi pasen hazeh, what's the rush? He tells him, relax, calm down. I'm yours anytime you want. This is a medrash. This is my lawyers. I'm not making up no story. So he went from a place that he came in to look at a piece of linen, and he's now at a point where she's telling him, relax, but anything you want, anytime you want. But that's not true. She's playing a game with him. This is the Yetzirah on a different level. I can't really switch it for you. But he's the Zayna. In this story, he's the Zayna. He's the girl. And if you can listen to the tape of this shir and put the Yetzirah in here, in that position of it's free, eat kosher, it's not a problem, you can talk to... So we went ahead and we did a lot in the mountains. We worked very hard. That the mountains shouldn't be a hangout this year. So the girls are in the bowling alley in Kaimisha, the boys are in the bowling alley in Liberty, the pool hall is closed, the homes that they did Averis in, we closed, the cops are all over the place, mamish. So a bunch of guys right, complained to one of my guys and said, "What does Wallerstein think he's doing? He's playing with nature." So the guy said, "What are you talking about? Girls and boys, they have to talk, they have to socialize. This is a front kid. He's crazy. How can he make a bowling alley just for girls? He's defying, he's going against nature. But shut it up. What's nature? Nature's what Hashem created. Hashem says no boys and girls together. You're going against nature. Meshuggah a kid. I'm going against nature. You're going against nature. Hashem says what's nature. But this is where we are today. Nature. Boys and girls, it's nature. A new religion. I thought they taught that in biology, but it wasn't Jewish. Onward. It's not done. So if you replace this girl and you make her the Yetzer Hara, you're going to find it's a very scary story I'm telling you. Because it's mamish what the Yetzer Hara does. And he goes on. She goes on, she says the following. Okay, you have your lamb chops. I don't like lamb. I want chicken. She tells him, I want chicken. He's already drunk. So she says, do me a favor, take this chicken. But I'm already in love with you, Jewish boy. So, you know, I'm like you. I don't want to hurt you. So, shech my chicken. Even though I'm a guy, I don't need something shechted. But I want to be like you, you know, when we get married. You know, we'll have a Christmas tree, we'll have a Hanukkah bush, you know, whatever, we'll work it out. But I want to be like you, so the chicken that you're making for me, could you please make it kosher? Except, why was she doing that? She said, do me a favor, when you shech the chicken, just shech it in front of my little idol. So that when he shechs the chicken, he's actually shechting a carbon and he's doing avodah zarah. And that's what she does. And he was shochat, and he shechs the chicken lifnei bal pa'ar, in front of this avodah zarah. And she says to him, she was like, what's the nezek? What did you do wrong? Meanwhile, he was serving their avodah zarah. He still didn't do this nus, but he already was even avodah zarah. Here's a guy who all he did was open up. I hate to say this because you're going to throw up soon, right? They opened up the internet. That's all he did to see, to go shopping, to see what's for sale. Welcome. Welcome. Shalom Aleichem. And there's no dirty picture. There is probably, but there's no, when you get to the welcome on AOL, if you're lucky, there's no dirty picture. So, wow. There's an old lady at the door of the tent. Then we Google, and we search, and we go, and we fly. And all of a sudden, who's in the back of the tent? There she is. But mommy, I really started the whole thing. I was doing my homework, mommy. I was checking out the weather for tomorrow's trip. I was watching CNN because I wanted to know if Mashiach was coming. But there's doors and there's trap doors. And there's rooms and there's all kinds of things in this house of ill repute. And they call it rooms. What kind of room? What's the size of that room? Of a chat room? Since when does a room not have height, length, width? What's for a room? What kind of room are you in? Something's room doesn't have to have height and length and width. And how many kids get sucked in to those chat rooms? And what are you chatting with? My proof to what I spoke to you in the beginning. You're on the internet, you're chatting with someone. There's 10 people in the chat room, right? Brian and Shmayan and this one and that one, right? And you're hi, I am Elke. I am 24 years old, she's 13. I live in the Hamptons, it's one of my houses. My father drives a Mercedes. I'm 6'4". And who are you talking to? You don't know them. They could be crazies. They could be a parrot that learned how to type on a computer. You don't know who they are. What are you doing in a room with people you don't know? What are you doing there? Who are you talking to? You don't know. So why are you going there? If a Martian was to look at you, you'd say humans are out of their minds. You're in a room with 9 other people. You're talking to them. You're telling them. First of all, you're making up a whole story about yourself. You don't even know who they are. You're never going to see them. So, I hope. So what are you doing in there? And the answer is, the Yetzer Hara played on our weakness. Because as long as you can make up who you are, you never have to face who you are. So you can live on the internet. How many people live on the internet because it's not them? They make up who they are and they make up their name. Susie Cutie number 146. She's not Susie. She's not Cutie. She's not 146. Right? Fake names and fake profiles. I mean, the whole thing is fake. It's a world of fake. And you're going into that world. Why? Because in the world of fake, you don't have to be you. And we all don't want to be us. So you don't have to grow. And you don't have to face stuff. Because if you want to grow, you're 5'10", you type in, I'm 6'2". You just grew 4 inches in 3 seconds. And if you're poor and you want to be rich, you just type in, we have 4 houses, Lake Tahoe, Las Vegas, New York, and you can do whatever you want. So we all fall into that because, and that destroys who we are because we're somebody else all the time. You're never yourself. Yourself doesn't have to go into those places. So there's chat rooms and that rooms and this rooms and they're not even rooms and everybody's running into those rooms. And the Yetzirah, this is what he did over here. And I could even say there are places on the internet that's probably worse than this tent that this Jew walked into. Probably worse than this tent. Let's go on, she's not done. Now, he ate, he drank, and he wants to be with her. Ubal his datagla, he wants to be with her. Amra, she says, no, enem his datagla, I'm not going to be with you. Elim came tavet chila avayda zara azayis. I want you to serve my other avayda zara, which was Baal Pa'ar, and the way to serve Baal Pa'ar was to defecate on it. And she said, what's so bad? You're defecating on my idol. And he didn't realize that that was the way they served him. So he's Oyv Avodah Zarah again. And then, listen carefully, and this is the end. Ella, she says, V'acha she'asakein. He says, okay, let's do the Avera. I did everything you asked me to. I did Baal Pa'ar. I did the chicken. I was Oyv Avodah Zarah. Now I want to be with you, Lenu. So she says to him, she says, nope. Eino niskak l'cha. I will not be with you physically. Ele'im kein only if tachbor b'toiras Moshe Rabbecha. I will only be with you if you get up and you deny the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So in the end, from walking in to buy a piece of linen, he did Avodah Zarah, he did Gilead Arayos, and he had to get up and say, there is no God, there is no Judaism, there is no Moshe, there is no Torah. From where to where? And Nebuch, as we learn in the Parsha, so many Jews, 24,000 Jews died in a Magefa because of this. So what's the answer? The answer is, you can't go looking for linen. You can't walk around and fall in to places that look very innocent, but places that you don't belong. And if you're in that place and you don't belong, and the person says to you, oh, you don't belong because you're a Jew, you guys are all, you think so much of yourselves, and you're big shots, because that's how we fall. And you think you're better than us, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm making chalosh shama, you know. Yes, you are different than them. And be proud that you're different than them. Or else in the end, you're going to say there's no Torah and there's no Moshe. Because that's what they want in the end. It's an unbelievable medrash. And if you take the Zayna out of the picture and you make it the Yetzirah, you will see that this is the way that he comes to all of us. Hashem should give us siyata d'shmaya and the koyach to be able to see the old lady that's selling the linen to understand what's inside. What's inside the internet, what's inside these places that we go. And not get fooled on what's outside. So I want to finish. And I want you to know that when I was looking at my preparing for the Shira Mashiach, I saw something very scary in the Zohar. The Zohar talks a lot about Mashiach, but he talks about that when a person, before they come to this world, that the Neshama, Hashem comes to Neshama to send it to this world. It happens to be a beautiful Zaya. I hope to bring it next week to read it to you from inside. But Hashem comes to the Neshama before he sends it in the world. And he says to the Neshama, you're going down to that world to do Torah and mitzvos. and to grow. Because if you were where you have to be, you wouldn't come down here. You have to fix something. Umashbia es haneshama. And Hashem makes the soul swear. He swears the soul, all of us, all of you, everyone in this room, including myself. We all swore, every person in this room, all swore before God, before we came down to this world, that we will come down to this world to do Torah, mitzvahs, and chesed, and we will come back to the next world better than we left it. And Hashem is mashbia you. You have to swear it. And when you come up to that world, you have to prove how you kept that swear, how you kept that promise. Scary Zaya. Scary Zaya. Just when I happened to be preparing for this, I saw it. And I'm going to read you what it's a whole shvua. It's a whole shvua that Neshama says, because Baruch Hu gives it a bracha, and he sends it to this world. So we need to think, everybody in this room, am I keeping my promise that I gave Hashem before he sent me into this world? You know the answer. I don't know the answer. Every person has to know the answer and has to try their hardest to keep that promise. So I don't want to end on such a harsh thought. I want to tell you something very interesting. So as you know, I'm a little bit out of the box if you haven't figured that out yet. And I was in the mountains at night and I see these fireflies flying around. Now as a kid in Muncie, I saw them, I put them in my jar. You know, I thought it was very cute to put them in the jar. They didn't think it was very cute, but I thought it was very cute. It was a science experiment. You should write down how many times they flash every second. Then you let them go. Then you recapture a bunch more. And you see if you captured the same ones that you had before, because it's like a Morse code that they send out. But I never thought about it. I thought about the butterfly. I didn't think about the firefly. So this past week, I was in the mountains at night, and I see them flying around. People are trying to kill them. People are trying to shoo them. And I'm like, what's the deal, Hashem? Why does a firefly light up? You know, as a kid, I thought it was a toy, but it's not a toy. Why would Hashem make a creation that it lights up? It doesn't give enough light for me to walk through the woods. If it needed headlamps to fly, it would light up in the front, not in the back. I don't think it needs tail lights that another bug should have bumped into it, right? So what's the deal? Why would Hashem do that? Why would Hashem create a firefly? And I said, you know what? I'm coming back to New York, and I'm going to Google, right? I actually didn't Google because I don't know how, but I had someone else Google. Google me firefly. I want to understand why Hashem made this bria. Why did Hashem make this bria? Okay. So I start reading about the firefly. So there's many different reasons why it has this flash, but I have to tell you one reason that really hit me. This thing that's in the firefly, by the way, the firefly is one of the proofs that the scientists who were atheists, who believed in evolution, gave up on evolution. Because for a firefly to ignite its light, there are so many things that have to happen at the same moment that there's no way that it could have come through evolution. And there's a whole write-up by a Christian organization that the beetle and the firefly, the special beetle that has this fire, whatever it is a proof to that there's a God in the world. Because there's no way in evolution that it could do this the way that it has to happen. It has this thing and the oxygen mixes with the luminant that's in the body. It's a gansamaisa, but that's not my point. My point is like this. Listen to this. Listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bria. So why does Hashem do it? A firefly has this luminant in it that makes it light up. It is the most distasteful, bitter, disgusting thing that any bug or creature could eat in the world. It tastes miserable. Now, the firefly, if it didn't light up at night, bugs would eat it. And then they would find out, ugh. But by the time they found out, ugh, firefly is dead. So Hashem, Google it. So Hashem made the firefly that he has a light that lights up. The other bugs see him light up. They're like, that's a firefly. He don't taste good. Stay away. And that protects the species to keep it alive, that it's not eaten by other bugs. And you need proof of God? I got to get up here and show you proof of God? A little bug, it doesn't taste good anyway. Why have it killed for no reason? The bug that's eating, it's not going to like it. It's not going to want it. So Hashem gave it a light on its tail so that the other bug should say, oh, that's a firefly. That doesn't taste good. I'm going to leave him alone. Have a nice day. And that's how the species lives. Amazing. How many people go to the mountains, they don't think for a second. They walk by, there's 100 of them, it doesn't mean anything. The Bria is in your face. Kadosh Baruch Hu is in your face, you don't look. A silly little Google. Just to see a little bit, there's other stuff about it. But just one little point, and I thought to myself, wow, what a lesson. What a lesson. We are different. We're not a physical nation. We're a spiritual nation. The problem is that this generation thinks that we're a physical nation. We were never a physical nation. We're not built that way. Esav is built that way. You die in the day Esav. Yishmael will live by the Chereb, by the sword. We're called Kol Yaakov. We talk. We daven. We're not built that way. We're disgusting. You don't want any part of us. We're different than everybody else. You don't want us. We're a firefly. And you'll find out afterwards that you don't want us. So you know what? We have the Torah, which is R. And a person who has Torah, which is R, he has a certain light. And a girl who's a snua, and she has sneers, she walks in the street, she's different. She's showing, I'm different. Don't come over to me and try to get me into all your garbage. Because I'm not going there. I am different. I am a firefly. I am different. I look different. But if you don't light up, you're going to get swallowed up. And then they're going to hate you. You should know something. That most mixed marriages of a non-Jew and a Jew do not work. In the end, they hate each other. Because we don't taste like they taste. We're very differently spiritually. So as long as we show the world that we're different, they're going to say, we don't want any part of them. The minute we begin to assimilate and say, yeah, let's go to the same parties. One guy told me, he said, I said, where were you last Motzei Shabbos? He goes, Rebbe, you're not going to believe it. I'm like, okay, forget that question. No, I got to tell you where I was. I'm like, where were you? He says, I was in the Hamptons. Okay, I know there's a shul in the Hamptons. Not that bad, right? Maybe they had a Malava Malka. I was in the Hamptons. I said, what were you doing in the Hamptons Saturday night, Motzei Shabbos? He went, I went to a DJ party. I said, you went to hear a DJ at a party? He goes, no. I went to a DJ party. I said, what's a DJ party? He goes, Rebbe, there were thousands of people. I'm like, tell me, what is a DJ party? He says, this guy, he's the hottest DJ. And then he gets up there, right? And everybody's like clapping and screaming and dancing. And he's like famous. He told me the name. I have no idea. You know, I don't read these rap music magazines. So I don't know, you know, who these guys are, right? And he says like, man, I was out there. I'm like, what did the DJ do? He goes, well, he gets up there. And he's got this vinyl record, you know, thing. And he scratches it. I'm like, you drove from Brooklyn, New York to the Hamptons and paid money to watch a guy stand there and scratch it? I said, do you know how many times I got a beating from my father because I moved the needle on the vinyl and I scratched his record? And here you got a guy that's scratching it on purpose and everyone's like, yo, man, scratch that vinyl, baby, scratch that vinyl. Sick! We're sick! This is one of my boys! Where's your light? Where's your light in the night that you're different? You're just like them! You're getting excited about scratching a vinyl! You're out of your mind! No, he's not out of his mind. He walked into the tent, girls. He walked into the tent to see who's selling the linen. No, it's not funny, it's very sad. And when he went into the tent the first time, I'm sure, it's a club, what's the end of the world? And then the rap music, and then the culture. And then you're willing to drive to the Hamptons to watch some Chalaria Behema with 45 gold teeth and a big fat chain hanging down from his neck with the meanest look you've ever seen in your life, like he wants to murder 400,000 people, and he's standing up there and he's scratching a vinyl and all that Avodah Zarah, everyone's standing there, oh my goodness. Pashas Bilam, Pashas Balak. You can't walk into the tent, because in the end, the Zayna, the Satan, will get you to say, I don't believe in Moshe, Torah's Moshe, and I don't believe in Hashem. He'll end up destroying you 100%. Girls, don't go on the internet. Don't go into his tent. Don't. Don't go to Facebook. Don't go into his tent. Trust me, I'm not against Facebook. No, it's not a thing with Rabbi Wallerstein. It's not a thing. I don't have Facebook. I'm not the competition. I'm not MySpace. I'm trying to talk it down. Don't go into the tent. Even if it's Pishdan, it's only linen. You're going to a Jewish site. But what's in the back of the tent? When you move the mouse and you click it, where are you going? In the end, you're going to lose everything. Trust me, you're going to lose everything. Because that's what the Satan wants. He wants to take us with him at the end of time. Light up. Show the world you're different. You don't want any part of me. I don't taste good. I'm a Jew. My nefesh, my neshama ain't like yours. And that'll protect us, just like it protects the firefly. You should all have a tzach.